Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. For thee all the follies of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior, tis now. I love thee because thou first loved me and purchased my pardon on Calvary's tree. I love thee for wearing on thy brow. If ever I'd love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. In mansions of glory and endless delight, I'll
so much, Wynn. One of my favorite songs, My Jesus, I Love Thee. Beautiful song. Thank you so much for that. Let's go to a psalm tonight, Psalm 57, if you would. Psalm 57 is a psalm that I recently read that was a big encouragement to me. In fact, I think Melissa and I were reading through it together, and I took note of it and tucked it away a little bit, and I want to share a few things with you this evening from Psalm 57. It's not a long psalm, 11 verses, but it's a psalm that I think can be an encouragement to you. This evening I've entitled it the Psalm of Hope, a Psalm of Hope. Let's go ahead and read the chapter, Psalm 57. Pay close attention. I won't read quick. I'll read slow, so you can try to gather what's being said, and then I'm not gonna explain the whole thing, but we'll look at some different parts of it that I think are going to be a blessing. All right, Psalm 57. Now, as you know, I don't know what your Bible says, but underneath mine, it speaks of David when he fled from Saul in the cave. Okay, so you can imagine what David is going through when he is trying to flee Saul in the cave, and having some thoughts that way would have been an interesting thing to go through. Glad that it was him and not me. All right, verse number 1. Be merciful unto me, O God. Be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed. I will cry unto God Most High, unto God that performeth all things for me. He shall send from heaven and save me from the reproach of him that would swallow me up, Selah. God shall send forth his mercy and his truth. My soul is among lions, and I lie even among them that are set on fire. Even the sons of men, whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue a sharp sword. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. They have prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down. They have digged a pit before me, and into the midst whereof they are fallen themselves. Selah. My heart is fixed, O God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. Awake up, my glory, awake, psaltery and harp. I myself will awake early. I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing unto thee among the nations. For thy mercy is great unto the heavens, and thy truth unto the clouds. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. All right, I want you to see a number of things here in this passage. I want you to look at verse 1. Now, we would understand David's situation as a calamity, right? Boy, it's a calamity to be chased by an individual that's a warrior, that is strong, bigger than I am, and has some skills, and he's out for my life. Well, that would be a calamity, I would say. And so David here is going through this. He says in verse 1, be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me. You know, he quotes that two times. He says, God, be please, mercy, mercy, please, mercy. Be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, and I want you to see this, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed. I want you to see, first of all, as I've entitled this, A Psalm of Hope, I want you to see a choice. A choice. Here we have a choice that David is going to make. David says, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge. You know, there are many places that a person can choose to get their peace or their hope from. You know, the world offers a lot of things to get peace. In fact, the world is, I believe, is already trying to offer world peace to people, and it's going to be an interesting thing as it comes down. We know that there's only one peace, and that peace is in who? Jesus Christ, okay? There is going to be no world peace from the world. There's not going to be no leader on earth that's going to provide peace. There is no form of government or whatever is out there that they're trying to get that is going to bring peace and unity that only God can bring, because he's the God of peace. David, of course, he's looking for peace, he's looking for hope, he's looking for help from the Lord. And he says, Lord, be merciful. And he could have ran to all, he could have said, you know, that in my sling, you know, and in my, you know, that I killed Goliath, you know, is my hope and my trust and my faith is going to be in that. Or, you know, it's going to be in this or in this other place. But David says, you know, he makes a very clear decision, a choice. He says, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge. There's a choice there. He says, I will. So there's a will that is being exercised here. I am going to have my rest be in you. And as I mentioned, there's a lot of things that a person can choose to get their peace or their hope in while they are in the cave of calamities, if I could say it that way. Many people go to the world, and it's very true. A lot of people will go to drugs and certain things for their whether they call it their fix or their peace. You understand that, right? A lot of people do those things because they're trying to get some relief. They're trying to get some, you know, honestly, life is hard out there for a lot of people. Very difficult. People without the Lord, oh, can you imagine? Think just for a moment what life would be like without God. Well, you see it. You see why the world is doing. You know, it's interesting why we, in the confines of this building, we can really look at the world and we can really let them have it. These wicked people out there. You know, these worldly people out there are seeing. Think about the young people that are growing up in homes these days. What they're being exposed to. I think we have no clue what these young kids are watching in front of their in front of their eyes at home between dad, mom, or whoever it is that's there, and person this and person that, and changing this and changing that, and what a mess is out there. And I don't say that they have a reason to do it. I'm not giving them a way out because they have an excuse, but you wonder why so many of these young people are getting involved the way they do. Life is tough out there. But there's a choice, and some people choose to go the route of some sort of a fix that will kind of get them out so they can't feel it. And that's the only thing that they know of peace. Drugs, alcohol. What's the answer for a person that's an alcoholic? The answer is Jesus. Folks, these people will not get enough drugs, they'll not get enough alcohol, they'll not get enough whatever they're doing to get peace. They will continue to attempt it. And that's why they go back to it and back to it, because they're out for peace. You know what? Everybody wants peace. Relief from the world's problems, relief from the trials, relief from the pain, relief from the hurt, relief from all the things that are out there. And they go to, they choose to go to the drugs, they choose to go to the alcohol, they choose to go to the other controlling substance. Some people, they cannot get relief, and so they turn to immorality. It's kind of like they can live another life in another world, a dream world, and so they choose immoral things because it's an escape from what they know. And they can enjoy this thing, and they can do this, and so they go to another thing that is their, it's kind of like their little escape from the struggles that are out there. They're making a choice so to do it. Some people, it's not near as in our circles or in our minds, not near as bad, but they turn to things. They turn to money, possessions, spending money. You know, they say that it's almost like a drug, getting hooked on spending money. There's things that there are things inside your physical bodies that are released when you go to the store and buy something. You ever wondered why it gives you such pleasure to go and spend money on and buy something? There's a physical release that happens inside part of your body it's something that it's a release from what you know and what is troubling you, and you go and spend. And a lot of people are out there spending money to get things. And they buy things and they do things that that will make them happy to escape the bad day of work, escape the home life that is so horrible. And so I'm going to go buy things, and these things are going to make me happy. Well, as a Christian, you know that it doesn't make us happy. We make a choice. People go to food to make them happy. There's something in it. They call them the comfort foods. You know, some people, you might not be like it, but some people, when there's stress, when there's things going on in your life, the easiest thing to go home and eat. And again, you laugh, but it's true. It's true. People are, and they're addicted to that because they need a release of something. They've got to escape, and they go to something where they can feed themselves on, and it's an escape. And by choice, they go to the food. Some people, under hurt and heartache, they go into seclusion. Okay, well then I'm just going to be by myself then. It's an escape for peace. And there are other false sources of peace, books and other counselors and so many things that people are looking for. You know, the choice of peace is a choice that we all make. We all make. And David said, I'm going to choose you. Let me ask you a question. Where do you go for peace? Honestly, it's not in circumstances though. Where do you go for peace? Let's get real specific. When your Saul, David situation comes up, because none of you are running from Saul, but your situation that comes up, maybe it's that person at work that is so difficult. Maybe it's at home. It's that home life, and it's that husband, it's that wife, it's that that son or that daughter. Maybe it's the financial issues. Maybe it's the physical things. When those difficulties in life come up that we talked about even this morning, where do you run for your peace? And a variety of things, as I just suggested to, are places that people go to get peace. Folks, can I tell you this? And you say, Pastor, this should be unsaid. We understand this. But it's important that you have the right place to go for peace, because so many people are in the wrong place. You get anxiety and you get struggles and you get fearful and worry. Can I tell you that the only place to run is Jesus and not to anything else? You've got to run to the Lord. I know we're a small crowd here tonight. I know you're the faithful, but can I tell you, even some of the best of Christians don't run to the Lord in their struggles. You've got to go to the Lord. You've got to go to your knees. You've got to say, God, I will trust in you. And that's what David says here. I'm not going anywhere else. The arm of flesh, as I mentioned this morning, will fail you. And the armor, as David understood as he was a young lad going against Goliath, it's not. Who's the answer? Who was always the answer for David? Always. It was God. He went to the Lord. Now, I cannot say every moment. He had his moments of weakness in his flesh. And I'll tell you, when he went to anything but the Lord, he got in trouble, didn't he? He got in trouble. We've got to go to the Lord. And it might be unsaid. You know, Pastor, you don't need to teach us. But I want to tell you something. Sometimes I go to the wrong source. And not that I'm any better than anybody else, but if I'm doing it, you're probably sometimes doing it. Well, maybe sometimes we go to the comfort of bitterness, the comfort of worry or fear. I know that doesn't sound like a comforting thing, but sometimes we go to those things, and that's what we end up spending our time doing. But as David says, he says, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge. I'm running to the one that can overshadow me with his wings. I'm running straight to the Lord. Who do you run to when the Saul, David situations come in your life? Do you run straight to the Lord? Is God your refuge? Is God your strength? Psalm 61 in verse 2 is a psalm that I quote regularly when I'm going through a struggle. Hear my cry, O God. Attend unto my prayer. From the ends of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. And I'll tell you this, that there's no drug, there's no immoral act, there's no money or thing, there's no food, there's no seclusion or any other form of peace that can meet the need except the rock that is higher than I. There is none other. We need to spend time running. It's a choice that we all have. Look at verse 2. Honestly, folks, when I read this, there was just a few things that came to my attention. And I'm just sharing these with you tonight. Verse 2 was another alarm set off when I read it. It was interesting. David says, I will cry unto God Most High, unto God that performeth all things for me. Now, I caught that right away. That's interesting. Unto God that performeth all things for me. If we take this literally, what is it saying? God performs all things for who? For me. God performs all things for me. We were there this morning. And we know that all things work together for good, right? I'm not sure why this verse keeps coming out to us, but it's a theme that has been coming out. God is working everything, whether it's country, whether it's a tragedy, whether it's whatever. God is working all things. But notice, it's for us, not against us. God's doing things for us. You know, it's that perception that we talked about just a few hours ago. It's that perspective. Understand that God is not, you know, I don't understand why God is bringing this into my life. This is a negative thing. We don't understand God. God is bringing it for our good. And David here recognizes, unto God that performeth all things for me. It's God that is performing this for you. Do you have a perspective to look at the things that happens that, wait a second, this is for me? This is for my benefit. This is something that God is doing for His glory. We have a lot of things that come into life that we look at it while it's unfolding is very tragic, and we cry and we mourn over it. We don't know how to think. We don't know how to act. And yet God is working this for my good. I will tell you this. I won't tell you any circumstances or any details of the things, but there have been a number of things in this last year that God has done that I labeled them when they happened. It appeared to be a tragedy, and I knew Romans 8:28. Very, very, very well. And yet when they happened, it seemed like, why in the world? And I specifically think of one that happened this summer. And yet I say, why in the world would God have that happen? Now, again, as a Christian, as a pastor, I knew that there was something good from it, but I had no way to see it myself. God in His goodness always has something good, even though we don't understand. And I can tell you firsthand that I have watched God take those things that I would even literally use the words, and I probably did, I don't see any way that can be a positive thing, that God can use that. And I remember with this one specific thing, it just seemed like there was no way. It was a mistake. And again, I know better, and so do you. But it was a mistake. Oh, and of course, I consoled myself by saying, well, okay, so this happened, so I guess, and I'm not going to give details, but I guess, basically, kind of like, I guess I'll just deal with second best. And I wish I could tell you the whole story, but I cannot. But it was amazing how in the next couple days God unfolded a beautiful plan that I could never, ever, ever, ever dreamed up. I don't think it was possible for me to dream up that. And God allowed this mistake. I mean, now I say that like this. God allowed this negative thing that I said, that was horrible. Because honestly, I believe in it there was sin involved. I believe there was bad attitudes involved. I believe that there was lies involved. I believe that it was a mess. And for my cause, it seemed to destroy everything. And over the course of the next couple days, God took that and used it to clear up another thing that was so became so clear once Melissa and I looked at it. Folks, I can tell you something. When things happen like this, God really is. It's not just some little buzz phrase that we use up here that God is good and everything He does is good and it will be for your good. And we quote Romans 8:28 and we say amen and go out. It's true. God is doing even the negative things. He must have something good through it. He must. There's no way. There's no way. You say, but these two things are on opposite ends of the spectrum. They don't, you know, it's kind of like night and day. You know what? God's the only one that can mesh night and day. And He can, though. He can. And I've watched Him do it. Again, a number of things. Three things in particular right now that I can think of through 2019 that bang, 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 He did. David recognizes unto God that performeth all things for me. All things for you. All things for you. For your benefit, even. For your benefit. God is working these things. I want you to see the source of this wonderful hope and peace. We see the benefits, we see the source. Verse 3. He shall send from heaven and save me from the reproach of him that would swallow me up. Okay? Selah. God shall send forth His mercy and truth. I thought it was interesting those words that are used there at the beginning of the verse. He shall send from heaven. He shall send from heaven. Where's the best place that you could get your help? In life, there are different times when you can say, you know what, if I'm going to get help, this is the person that I want to help me. When I was a young boy, my dad was the hero. I trusted my dad. When it came to driving, when it came to different things, I trusted dad. He was a sense of security for me. And I appreciate it. My dad, you know, many of you have met my dad. He's not a big talker. He's not a big man. He's not some big, strong whatever. I think it was just because he was my dad. But I just always felt safe with dad. And he was that guy for me, that we would never get lost. We never, you know, he could be, if you've never driven through, you know, on Interstate 80 in Wyoming, when they've closed the roads, by the way, I don't know if you understand this, in Wyoming, when the roads are bad, they put the gates down and you don't go. Okay, you stop. And you got to go back to the town before. And if that means 3 days, it's 3 days. If it means a week, it's a week. If it means a couple hours, it's that way. On our ranch, we were the last road before the gate. You could see the gate there where it was. I mean, right there where we got on Interstate 80, there was the gates. But our entrance onto Interstate 80, which we had to take to get to church, to get to town, was we could get on always. It was just east of us, 10 feet, that there was the barricade. So we had access on there. And I will tell you, with all of the wind that I told you about this morning, when the snow comes and the ice comes and that wind whips across there, it makes black ice. You're familiar with that. Some are not as much, and we get it. But out there, it's a common thing during the winter. The roads are closed often. And in those storms, it's treacherous to get on Interstate 80 and go, and where, you know, where you're driving. And I always had a sense of peace. You know, Dad, we hardly ever slipped. I tell you this because there was a source there that I felt that I was so secure. But the fact of the matter is my dad or anybody else's dad is not the true source. We see here that the true source comes. You know, we have certain places that give us a sense of security, give us a sense of hope. You know, well, I'm under this, and now I'm okay because of this. But the fact of the matter is the very best place, if you could ever pull from peace and hope from a specific place, the best place you could ever imagine and could ever exist would be where? Well, the peace and security and hope that heaven sends. And here it's interesting that he shall send from, it's almost like an announcement, he's going to send help from where? From heaven. Whose help do you wish that you had? You know, oh, if I could send from, maybe it'd be a phone call to a person in your life that has been, you know, I've got to reach out to them as my counselor. I've got to talk to them. Oh, if I could just hear from heaven. If I could just hear from heaven. And there it is, the true source. You know, our peace is straight down from the source of hope and peace. You get excited about receiving a package. Maybe a certain package that's got a birthday gift in it, or maybe it's a package that you've been waiting for. You ordered something, and you're looking for this package that comes. You know, we get so excited to receive a package. Can you imagine getting a package from heaven? And David said, he shall send from heaven and save me from the reproach of him that would swallow me up. He's sending from heaven safety. And notice, he says, God shall send forth, and what's inside that package? Mercy and truth. The most balanced gift that you could get. By the way, the most balanced person of mercy and truth is Jesus Christ. He was a person of mercy, and he was a person of truth. All in one. Perfect balance. And this is the source of our peace. That's why it's so beautiful. Mercy and truth. I want you to see the next, not the next verse, but I want you to go to verse 5. David honestly is in turmoil. The first start of it, yes, David starts by giving some trust and some praise, but you get the attitude in the first four verses. Okay, David's struggling here, but he's going to go. He's going to do it, but he's struggling. And it's kind of interesting that in verse 5, "Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let the glory be above all earth." In verse 7, "My heart is fixed, O God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise." Here's another choice, and we see two things here that David chooses to do. This is the response of hope and the response of peace, and that is that of a praising heart. A praising heart. "Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth." A praising heart. You know, as God is the source and there's benefits and He is the recognized place for peace and security and hope, it ought to be responded with a praising heart. We ought to thank the Lord that we have a place to go to during times of difficulty. David said, "God, thank you. I'm so glad that I have a place to call." Sometimes we call and we really need to get a hold of somebody for some reason for us. You know, as you raise children, accidents and sicknesses that you're more alarmed at than a cold happen always. Dan will attest to this. In the middle of the night. Just, that's the way it is. It seems like when something happens, it's after hours. The doctor's not in anymore. It's on the weekend. Why do we have all our problems on Saturday night? But that seems the way it is. You know, we have that problem. But you know, you try to get on and you try to call. You know, and you're just hoping, you know, you're like this. You know, you're just hoping that somebody's going to answer. They're not answering. They're not answering. There is, you know, there's nobody there. We need to be thankful that there is a place that we can call when we're in struggle, like David that says, "Be thou exalted. God, I know you're there. I know that I've got a place. I know that I've got a source. I've got an opportunity that I can dial up at any time, and you are there for my help." You can imagine that he's going through these thoughts in the cave. Saul's coming after him. And he can say, like we've looked at on Wednesday nights, that exclamatory prayer that Nehemiah said, "God help." It's kind of what David's doing here. "God help. I need deliverance. I need..." And God is always there 24/7 to hear. Always. God has made himself available. You don't have to worry. That's the weekend. God's not going to answer this one. You know what? Even God can work in the middle of a church service. God's certainly not going to answer this time. You know what? We've all got our phones off and we don't answer the phone this, but God is available through any time. In fact, you have no clue how many times while I've been up here preaching that I may say, "God, help." God is so good and he's available all the time. When we need to have a praising heart, that he is. When was the last time that you praised the Lord for simply being available all the time? There's another element here in verse 7. "My heart is fixed." We ought to have a praising heart, but we also have to have a fixed heart. The word fixed is lifted up, firm, stable. It's established. It's a trust. It's a fixed heart. When there's peace, we can trust him because we know that he's not going to move. We know that God is not going to move. He's rock solid. He's not going to go anywhere. He's not going to blow with the wind. He's fixed. He himself is fixed. He's firm. He's stable. He's established. Psalm 112 and verse 7 says, "He shall not be afraid of evil tidings." Why? Well, if God's fixed, then our thoughts and our minds and our hearts ought also to be fixed. God doesn't move, I'm not going to move. There's an element of goodness, folks, can I tell you this, in the Christian life, that we're fixed with our thoughts and that we say, no, I'm not going to think about it. I'm a thinker. And you know what I tend to think about? Well, if I don't think about it, then I might miss it, or I might not give a good enough chance for something else to come up. I want to tell you something. If God has established what is true, there's no need to think of anything else. Does that make sense? There's no need to entertain any... Again, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm the kind of a guy that likes to try to find loopholes. By the way, as a Christian, that's not good. We need to take God at His word. And God is fixed. This is what He's established. This is what He said. And it is the right thing. Listen to this. It's the right thing to say, I will not entertain the thought of that doubt anymore. No more. I am done with that thought. I will not think it. There was something yesterday that was going on in my life, and I made a determining decision. I will not have any thoughts that way. It's got to go. It's got to go. Why? Because there's nothing good about those kind of thoughts. God wants us to have, like David says here, I want your heart to be fixed. My heart is fixed on a fixed God. Here's the truth. I am fixing it upon that. My heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. Isaiah 26 and verse 3, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed. That's the same fixing idea. It's the same kind of word. It's solid. I will not go there in my mind. I will not go there in my actions. I will not go there with my eyes. I will not do this. I will look away. I will go away in my mind. I will go away with my body. I will avoid it. In this case, it's the mind. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust thee in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Good verses. And I want to encourage you. I don't know where you're going for your peace, but there's hope. There's peace in a person. And we need to be convinced. We need to make a choice. There's my choice. He's my choice. I don't have any other options. I'm not going to go to the bottle. I'm not going to go to the table. I'm not going to go to the seclusion. I'm not going to go to the whatever you do to. I'm going to tell you something. Some people think that it's okay to just think about something else. You know, when kids worry at night and they're scared, what ought they to think about? I've been tempted before to, you know, and when kids are afraid at night, you know, just, you know, think about going to grandma and grandpa's tomorrow. But I'll tell you what, folks, listen, that is not the answer. That could be a good thing. And that's a good thing to think through. But the answer is what? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. That's where we've got to go. I know, another simple message, but folks, I want to tell you something. Let's make sure that we go to the one that is the rock that is higher than I. David, he's in this mess, and he said, listen, I'm going to make a determining choice. I'm going to make a decision to go to the right source of peace. I'm going to make sure that you know, there was the benefits. We're calling straight from heaven, and all things for me, and I'm going to respond with joy and praise, thanksgiving. I'm going to respond with a fixed heart. I'm going to stay right here. That was the thing that kept David from crumbling and folding. How did David make it? Did God have plans for David to make it? Of course He did. All along, he was going to be the king. All along, he was going to be used. All along, Jesus Christ would come from him. He had plans for him. But I tell you what, we praise the Lord that David determined that he was going to go to the true source of peace, hope, joy. And he did. We need to be people that are willing to go to him as well. No other place. No other place will do it. No other piece of the puzzle is going to fit. I've tried to do that. I'm not a good puzzle putter together. I'm not. And it's because of my color blindness. But I sit down with a family, but every once in a while I'll grab a piece that looks like it could fit in. You try to. Doesn't work, does it? It doesn't work. Can you understand this? It doesn't work. Just as it does not work to put a piece of the puzzle that was not cut out for that spot, it does not work to put any other source of hope and peace in the place that God deserves. We've got to go to God. And I encourage you, go to God. Just run to God. Make a decision that He is going to be your hope and peace. Lord, I trust that we would go to You. You are everything for us, Lord. And just as I was encouraged with this psalm this week, I trust it's an encouragement to people here tonight, that You would be everything. And God, I've been guilty many, many times. I've run to other things, maybe a thought process, something else to be my security. And yet it always fails. I've got to trust in God. I've got to trust in You. David did. I have to. These folks, oh God, would You help them when they're going through difficulties this week and turmoils at home, turmoils at work, struggles with finances, struggles with health, adversity, difficulties. God, help us to run to Jesus. Hear our cry, O God. Attend to our prayer from the ends of the earth. We cry unto Thee when our heart is overwhelmed. Lead us to the rock that is higher than us. Lord, help us. I thank You for Your good word this afternoon. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.